Welcome back. Billy Lucci with my panel, my esteemed co-host, Trevor Knight, and the Big Truth himself, back for a second week. It was too big a game, Hunter. We had to have you back on. People were clamoring for it. I hate to give you that kind of credit. We have Henderson and I talked today, and we said for every time you interrupt, you owe us each a dinner on this segment, meaning me and Trevor.
Since I buy dinner
I bought Napa the other night for the whole crew. Shocked
Trevor,
y'all.
That in a friendship that's what, three decades, he can account for one dinner he's bought.
No, you know, I'm gonna be honest.
I bought the last one. It's like, If you won the last fight, you're the heavyweight champ, right? I bought the last meal.
Oh, okay.
I thought we were going to get through maybe 5 minutes of positivity, and now I'm sandwiched in between this. This is just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a positive week, Hunter, as you said. Coming off a big win against ULM, let's just go quick thoughts from you guys. What'd you see? I feel like I've talked about it all week. I want to hear what you guys thought of it.
My outlook on it was we did what we needed to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, big-time win in a trap game. We talked about that last week, how, you know, sandwiched in between number two team in the country, number one team in the country. You know, you can kind of let your guard down. And that's just inevitable. It, you know, as much as the coaching staff gets the team, you know, fired up, ready to play, I get that. Still in the back of your mind, you're thinking about Bama. That's just the way it is. I thought, you know, everybody's criticizing, oh, we didn't start as fast as we wanted to. Kellen ended up playing great. Trevion played great. The defense played great. I mean,
never trailed, up 14 at the half, 21-point first half lead. I thought that was way, way overblown.
Confidence
they didn't
is still
slop
there.
Around. They never slopped around.
No.
That's right.
I mean, as a player, Trevor nailed it. I mean, you can't help yourself. You don't struggle to go to sleep at night leading up to that game. You're already thinking about this game, right? Okay. I mean, it just happens. And when you know you have opponents that you don't need to game plan for, they can sense that too. You're not going into this, you know, super duper game plan that's going to assault certain weaknesses that you run your basic stuff. Yeah. They know it. I mean, you can yell all you want, but at the end of the day, players are players. No NFL scout's going to come in and pull that game tape to determine if you can play. They are going to pull this one in the Clemson game.
Of course. And I think even on top of that, you look at what's going on around the country right now and all these quote-unquote Power 5 teams losing to very inferior teams, you've got to take the huge positive out of this. It was a big-time win. I mean, 48-10, that's commanding.
Yeah, I think that's a great point because you don't have to be a top – you see top 10 to 20 teams in those rankings struggle against Louisiana Monroe. I'm not going to make them out to be any kind of juggernaut. They're not the best team in the Sun Belt. They're a top-tier – Sun Belt team. This was not this was not Northwestern State. They're a team that if you did come out and stink up the field, it would have got uncomfortable. We've seen A&M teams do that. We saw ULM the year before you got here. We saw Nichols State the year after you left. And that's not just exclusive to A&M. You see it around the country. Georgia had it in Mark Richt's last year. Gus Malzahn's had a couple of those. Florida lost to Georgia Southern. So, yeah, to go out and win by 38 points, they're saying
and
something.
To your point, Billy, most teams from Florida and Louisiana have dudes. They just don't have them at all 11 spots. Mm-hmm. But those receivers, from what I've been told by other coaches, were legitimate guys. Yeah. I mean, they were good athletes, and they went up and made some plays in the air that we gave up on defense, but they're good dudes, right?
Yeah.
So it's not a terrible team by any stretch.
I want to talk to y'all about something before we're going to dive into Alabama, but – I want to talk about I feel like right now it's been a long time. I've watched A&M football a long time. I've been watching it since, I guess, right before Hunter started playing here. So we've followed this forever. You grew up watching the Aggies and Longhorns. I don't know that I can ever remember, maybe since early Slocum days, of maybe Bob Toledo, Bob Davey under R.C. Slocum, but where A&M has had – such a good situation in terms of their offensive play calling and scheme and design and what Mike Elko's doing on defense. I just feel like on Saturdays, whether A&M can beat Alabama or not, Nick Saban knows going into this game, this is probably going to be the game where he and his coaches have to coach the best coaching job they're going to have to do this year, because I've been so impressed with Elko. Look at this week, 260 yards in the first half and 10 points, a shutout and 57 yards in the second. Thought he was masterful against Clemson the week before. Thoughts on what you're seeing from the offense, and what you tell us about Elko?
Well, you know, you just see, and I've said it probably a little bit too much, but I'm going to continue to harp on it because it's a very strong point. The multiples that we have to our offense. You've got a guy in Kellen that's playing good. Mm-hmm. You got Travion that's going to run in between the tackles. But Jay Sternberger and old number 12 back there, they add a different dimension. And what I like the most, speaking to the coaching point, is how Jimbo is using that. You know, I get a little report from some of the guys that I still mm-hmm. play with and everything like that, but the way that he has made this offense look like they've been running it for 4 years now, it's year one.
Game
three. We
have
to remember, this is year one of this offense. Normally, you know, you go, you maybe hit a few speed bumps early on. We're already like a fine-tuned machine running this offense. It's really impressive to see. I've loved what Jimbo's done, and assembling a new coaching staff, especially on the offensive side of the ball, the way that all those position groups have come together already, pretty sweet.
Hunter, you've been really impressed with what Mike Elko's done.
Well, I think, you know, you look at not only just how he adjusts. Most guys do it at halftime. Some guys, maybe you do it quarter to quarter. He does it series to series. Yeah. I mean, he makes adjustments real time, and he has almost a savant-like ability to see what the offense is attempting to do to him and take that away quickly. You then layer in the fact that our players are playing at a level, even in the game last week, which was, as we talked about, you didn't see a ton of missed tackles. You didn't see lack of effort. You didn't see guys not running to the ball. So it's become kind of a de facto culture, if you will, that we're going to play hard on defense. And one kid that it just shows me that the pundits don't watch film, and they don't have time, because you don't have time to break down but a kid to me that I have been hard in the past, deservedly so, because it was all talk, no action, but you watch how he's progressed week in and week out, and how he's running to the ball and pursuing and making disruptive plays play in and play out, is Dalen Mack.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked like a totally different human being, and I think that, to be totally fair, I went back and actually watched this with my own eyes, because I had someone I respect heavily tell me this, and I now agree with them. If you watch how disruptive he was against the Clemson offensive line as compared to their four first-round picks against our offensive line, he wins that battle.
Okay.
He was extremely disruptive.
Yeah.
They were aggravated, and he was in the backfield all night. So he's playing at a level he has never looked like this. Yeah. We've seen a play here or there, but play in and play out, he's playing at a very high level. And that gives me tremendous hope. Is that Elko? Is that Jimbo? Is that
Elijah
the
Robinson,
culture of this? Is it Elijah Robinson? Who is it?
Talking to Dalen, he really – and I think it's
– I think it's all
Jimbo,
of it's
Elko,
I think it's
Robinson, all gotta be everything. You know, it is – you said the word culture. But – and I'll say this. When you say about Dalen, the one thing I'll say about him, there's never been any talk from him. That's the five-star
ranking.
Agreed. But that's part of why it was difficult for other coaches to get through to him, because he is such a quiet guy, and he's – a really nice, well-mannered
kid.
Dude, you played with him. So I really think we're talking coaches right now. I think Mike Elko too, but Elijah Robinson, he's finally got a position coach that knows how to coach you, how to coach you. Dan Campbell and me and you always talk about this. I got to coach Trevor Knight. Now, I don't know, you two, I might be able to coach pretty similarly. But you know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, with this rare
different
talent.
Yeah.
And exceptional.
There's a lot of talent in this
charm
room over here.
Yeah, how hard is that?
There's a lot of
anyone can coach us
at this desk right now. No, but he mentioned Dalen Mack. Is there a guy, Trevor, that three games in, I know you feel the same way about Dalen, we've talked about that. Is there another guy, though, that jumps out at you that you said, I didn't think I'd see that from him this quickly, without stating the obvious, which is probably Kellen?
I don't know if it's I didn't expect this, but the two guys on either side of Dalen, Landis Durham and Kingsley Kiki, have impressed me more than anybody these first couple games. Disruptive, playing hard every play, making big plays. I think both of them had a sack this past week. they're just continuing to get better and better and better. Really, that whole front seven right now, they got that confidence going.
They do.
And, you know, we've talked about the areas in the secondary where we can't, you know, allow those big plays, but the core of our defense right now has impressed me maybe is just as much as anybody in the country.
And Trevor, to the point you just made, name a team, any team, who has locked down, shut down in their secondary. I mean, it doesn't happen in this day and age of football.
You watch the NFL game last night,
the Chicago game. I mean, all the big plays were predominantly made down the field.
Yeah.
My point is that there's not a secondary out there, including the one we're going to play Saturday, mm-hmm. who is perfect.
Yeah.
They've got holes in there.
They replaced virtually
six guys, is that right?
Yeah, virtually everyone that played. Let's go into that. Let's just dive right into that football game, because I know you're fired up. It's another opportunity to play Giant Slayer.
Yes.
And you're going on the road. And Hunter, how much better equipped in your mind is this football team going in there based on what they did against Clemson, and also just, Trevor, you talked about it, the style of play? Because you've gone in there with a quarterback that probably could have slung it around, and you guys probably could have had a nice – it was Travion Williams. You were the dual-threat quarterback. But y'all did it all out of more of a finesse spread, and you had them on the ropes in the third quarter. You couldn't sustain it. Their defense eventually – I think just wears on you. How much better equipped with this style of play is A&M to not only this Saturday, but moving forward to play with the Bamas and Georgias and LSUs of the world?
I got great segue. I got four pillars that I boil it down to.
Four pillars?
Four, baby. Four
pillars. Look at this guy.
Four values. Is one. Let's right. just talk.
Wait, I'm writing these down.
Coaching. Okay. So I think it is reasonable, supportable, and factual to say that collectively as a whole, the coaching staff and coaching is better than it has been in the past.
Yeah.
Okay? Number two, game plan. I think we have seen week in and week out, especially against Clemson, and we're going to see a lot more game planning, that the game plans are better. They're more curtailed to the opponent, both defensively and offensively, to take advantage of them. Number three, playing hard. We've never seen it, in my opinion, I've never seen the effort given on both sides of the ball, including special teams, consistently for four quarters. Go back to the Clemson game, last minute of the game. That game goes on for three more minutes. Clemson's gassed. We're still playing hard. Lastly, and the expert can opine on this, quarterback play. Mm-hmm. You have a kid that every single week continues to grow and continues to get better. Not over the span of 11 or 12 games, but he has improved every week for 3 weeks in a row, making big plays, throwing the ball down the field with a guy ripping his jersey off, and to me has a very quiet confidence. So I'll throw that up for discussion, but I think all 4 points are easily justifiable when you compare Texas A&M to the past.
Sounds like a book. Hunter Goodwin's four pillars of football success.
Man,
I like it.
I've actually got that written. Yeah, bestseller. Please bid on it now. $49.99.
Trevor, you've quarterbacked a team against this Nick Saban defense. Just from what A&M's done in the first 3 weeks, do you think it is a recipe to whatever success you can have against this? We understand it's relative, but do you think it's a recipe to succeed against the way they play?
Well, I'm going to piggyback off of Hunter real quick. Okay. I'm a unique.
Fifth pillar?
Yeah, maybe the fifth.
Come on, the fifth pillar. I love it. A new chapter in the book.
I have an interesting perspective on this. Yeah. I went in as a freshman and beat Nick Saban's team when I was at Oklahoma. And then when I was here, I went to Tuscaloosa and lost the game. And I'll tell you, a lot of it comes down to your four pillars. I hate to say it, but it really does. What we were able to do when I was at Oklahoma was, yes, we were the underdog. Mm-hmm. Let's just call a spade. Everybody's going to be the underdog nowadays against Alabama in the way that they're playing. It's about what game plan you come up with, how the coaches implement that, and then how you execute that. And then playing hard, I'm going to kind of substitute that with having confidence. Having confidence in what your coaching staff puts together, what the game plan is, and then sticking to it. And then when you get out there on the field, yeah, you're going to have to play perfect. When we were at Oklahoma, we played dang near a perfect game. Yeah. We didn't make those glaring mistakes. That's what makes Alabama so good. It's that whenever you make mistakes, they take advantage of those mistakes, and then it gets out of hand. When I was playing a couple years ago, we were up in the third quarter. We have a fumble. We throw a pick.
A late hit.
Boom.
You got off the field. There was a late hit.
Fumble return for a touchdown for them, and then it got out of hand. Yeah. They take advantage of any mistake you do. So in order to go into this game, they've got to play with that confidence, stick to the game plan, but they can't make any mistakes. Mm-hmm. And I know that's asking a lot, but it's just the reality of it.
I want to ask Trevor something that you're not uniquely qualified to answer. Okay. He is. One of the things that I think is often misunderstood. I was fortunate enough to play on Sunday. You have played on Sunday and been around it. That perspective, people talk about giant slayers, and I think that there is a belief amongst fans that our guys are walking onto a field where the talent is like the delta is
a
this
different
big.
Species,
and it's a different species. Yeah. Well stated. You've added value. Thank you. Today. You're welcome, Luke.
What do you know?
So. I guess I want you to answer that, Trevor. You've seen the best, right? You've been to camp. You worked out with those guys. You've been on a roster. You've seen the best that money can buy, literally. And tell the world that the gap, it ain't that big. It is very, very small between their dudes and our dudes, not this huge gap.
It's a fine line between winning and losing, period. But you can take it to a team that plays on Sundays, the New England Patriots. They don't have all these physical specimen. They have a culture. They have a coaching staff. They have a game plan. And they've got a quarterback to your four pillars again.
Yep.
And they buy into it every week. That's why they're so successful. I mean, they got little – just calling a spade. Yeah. They got little guys out there running little pivot routes. And, you know, their defense is what it is. But that's what makes them good.
Free agents.
What Nick Saban has been able to do at Alabama is to create a culture to no matter who walks through those doors – they're buying into the system, and they're going to play to the standard there. You're right. I mean, recruits are recruits. We get good recruits. Texas gets good recruits. Everybody gets good recruits. Yeah, they may get some of the better ones because of what they've done over the last decade, but the margin is
razor thin.
Small.
Right.
It's so small, and that's something that even as a player you have to overcome walking into a place like that is, hey – that guy puts his pants on just like I do. He puts his shoes on every morning just like I do. He struggles with things just like I do. He's got to snap the ball. Just like everything that they do, we do it too. They've just been able to do it at a high level because of the culture there. So we got to go into there with nothing but confidence to be able to do it.
And the way you do that, Billy, there's a reason we paid $75 million for our coach, because he's done it over two decades, three decades. There's a body of work. Mm-hmm. He knows what he's doing. Like, I got to rationally believe, and it's been my defense mechanism the last four nights when I lay in bed as my wife reads every new tweet or whatever the hell y'all call it.
She gets scared by
it. Oh, my
everything.
God, terrified. It's like, honey,
I mean, it is like
every 5 seconds.
Are you a football coach's daughter?
Can we win? Like, oh, my God, what are we going to do? I'm like, dude, relax. I got confidence that this guy knows what he's doing. I have seen in a – you made the point earlier, Trevor – look how far we've come in a very tight window of time.
Yeah.
I never thought, honestly, even with him, I thought we'd be here game 7, game 8.
Yeah, yeah.
Not game 3, not game 2 mm-hmm. specifically. So I got to believe that the culture's right, the kids believe, and they know, see, and feel a legitimate game plan. They feel it. They know it. And they have a quiet confidence. And that is what gives me confidence that we're not. It's Alabama. I get it. It's in Tuscaloosa. I get it. But am I going to the game, which I am doing, mm-hmm. believing that we have no chance? Hell no.
No.
I believe we have a chance.
Well, and look at your quarterback now. One of the pillars. Your quarterback.
I love it.
I brainwashed him. He not only has Clemson to draw on and that confidence in his coach and staff, in the game plan, all those things you talked about. So he's got something from 2 weeks ago. You know, the game didn't go the way – and it's not like A&M played Bama off their feet last year. But they made things interesting. They made a run in the fourth quarter when against – you know, Nick Saban didn't want A&M making that game an 8-point game. But Kellen Mond was the one leading the way in that thing. So how much confidence – you know, I just feel like you clear a really big hurdle – We're going to talk to Reggie McNeil about this later this week. You clear a really big hurdle when your quarterback, your team leader, is going in saying, hey,
I've done
we can do this. And your whole team, your O-line, that traditionally has had fits with Alabama's front, that group said, we just did a pretty good job. We held our own against Clemson, whose guys are actually rated higher than Bama's, right? So I agree with you on the confidence. Let's dive into this matchup before we go. I just want to talk a couple of the matchup specifically. What's a one thing that each of you guys see where you say, I think A&M can have some success here, whether it's a matchup or whether it's a player versus player? Where is the chink in the armor for Alabama that A&M can maybe take? Like before Clemson, we said maybe it's the A&M D-line versus their O-line, and it played out that way. What is it with Bama that A&M can maybe exploit?
I think for me it's two things. It's one thing that we've already done really, really well so far this season. Our defensive line and our defense as a total, they allowed 21 yards the first game rushing, 115 the second, and 103 this past week.
That's fantastic
football. If we can limit both of their running backs, both have the last name Harris, the Harrises, if we can limit those guys and try and make Tua one-dimensional, I think that's a huge thing. And then it's trying to limit what Tua's done so far. Some of his stats, I mean, they're 3-0 as a team. They've outscored their opponents 170-28. Tua, this year alone, 36 of 50, 72% throwing the football, 646 yards, 8 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. He's averaging 12.92 yards per attempt. Their offense alone is almost averaging a first down every single play.
Yeah.
We've got to find a way to slow that passing attack down. We've done a good job with the run
defense.
Does
it start with the run defense, though?
It starts with the run defense. Always does. You know that, playing in the trenches. But we've got to find a way to limit what Tua has done. One more stat. He's 13 of 13 on third downs right now.
With six
touchdowns. Get him off the field. Got to get him off the field.
Which, by the way, the two numbers that jump out to me most about this A&M defense so far is the one you said, the run defense. They're also, I think, opponents through three games, and remember, this includes the Clemson Tigers. Opponents through three games are 7 for 35 on third down against this A&M defense. That is the antithesis of everything we've seen since A&M's joined the SEC, save maybe that first season when teams were under so much pressure because they'd start out the game in a flash. They were down 14-0 at Johnny and stuff. But it is the exact opposite of what we've seen defensively from them. But Hunter, what's your
I'll piggyback off what Trevor said. You look at the Alabama recipe every single year in run defense, they're top five, and that is a recipe that we have to stop the run. Mm-hmm. And we have to put more pressure on that quarterback. And number two, defensively, as good as we've been on third down, we have got to find a way to tackle and not let guys wiggle out of place. If you go watch a lot of the Alabama explosive plays, especially in the pass game, they're not these big vertical 5 yards from the sideline, 45 yard deep, just go routes. There are a lot of short stuff that the guys wiggle out and make it into a 25 yard explosive play when it should have been tackled at 7 or 8 yards. We got to tackle and we got to get guys on the ground. Even when you have the chance, and I think this is the temptress in the room at times, you get a chance to make a play on the ball. I saw this last night in the Seattle-Chicago game, and guys get so overconsumed with trying to make a play on the ball that they end up letting the guy spin out of a tackle that should be a stop on third down, and it becomes a first down. So we have got to be disciplined, which comes with culture, and we haven't been that way in the past. So I think if we can continue to – progress and be better and tackle on defense, I think we will have a chance and stop the run.
I'll tell you, I'm going to go back to it. I don't think this is the most dominant Alabama offensive line they've had. I love Jonah Williams at left tackle. I like Texas A&M's defensive front to hold their own in that thing. Now, can they do enough to, like you said, put that pressure on Tua, let Mike Elko throw some exotic looks and blitzes at him, confuse. We're forgetting, I think a lot of people forget, he's making his fourth career start.
Right.
So no matter how good the quarterback is over time, you name a guy, In his fourth start, he wasn't nearly as good as he was in his 20th. You know, there are some things, but you have to – you're a quarterback. You know, you have to apply that pressure. You have to put him in some third and long situations. You've got to say, mate, I mean – Was that an Elko exotic blitz right there?
That was an Elko exotic blitz.
So I think you got to do that. And then the other matchup I like, and I don't know. I love Kellen, the way he's been throwing the ball with accuracy and seeing deep down the field. Everyone thought Ole Miss was going to test that. Here's why they didn't. They can't block him.
Right.
And they don't, and to go along with what y'all are talking, they don't try to with tight ends and chipping running backs and foot. They're just airing it out. It's the worst scheme, I think, even though they've had success. I think it was the worst play. And here's the thing, Ole Miss's offense, they might have lit up Tech, Trevor. That's the same offense that scored 0 points in the second half against A&M last year. Same receivers, same quarterback, same franchise left tackle. I think the fact that Bama shut down their passing game does not mean they're going to automatically shut down A&M's. If Kellen Mond has time, you mentioned the six guys they're replacing in the secondary. I think there's some opportunities there. The question this whole season will be who can block well enough and have the good enough quarterback and the playmakers at receiver. But I think the formula – they've already executed it. They've done it.
Mm-hmm.
They've seen how it works, and I think it's against a similar defense.
To me, you look at this Alabama team and just kind of a brief review of the stats. They were very, very heavy pass in the first two games against inferior opponents. It was almost like, I got a new toy. I'm going to take it out on the highway and drive that bad boy. They got to the Ole Miss game. They were 62% rush.
Really?
And to me, and that was, it was 40% rush in the first two games, first one 38 in the next, and then all of a sudden you saw a big flip the other direction. Yep. I think you know how Saban kind of freaks out against Ole Miss. He's had a bad history, et cetera. But I think that it's very reasonable to say they're gonna stick to the run. Mm-hmm. I think Jimbo is going to stick to the run.
Yeah.
Even though it's probably not going to be wildly successful, there's going to be a discipline in the approach because in order to get the pro style to work, you have to run the ball, right? You can't just abandon it. I think both sides are going to commit to running the ball. The question will be which of the two can do it successfully, and then the pressure will get on the quarterback. Who's going to make those throws downfield? I mean, people think I'm crazy. Tua is amazing and all that, but I like our chances with Mond, and I think he is confident. I think he is getting us in and out of the right plays at the right time, and he is understanding the math game and not running into overloaded boxes and making the right plays.
Quarterback, how important is it for one guy to be healthy this week that we saw helped off the field last week, number 64, Eric McCoy? How vital is he? They once again, Alabama's got a new true nose guard that's just destroying people in that 3-4. How important is it to have a healthy Eric McCoy on the football field? Not just for the blocking, but for the whole.
It's not just the fact that he's a great football player. He's the leader of that front. I mean, he's gotten those guys going big time. And credit to Jim Turner, too. I love Coach Turner and what he does with that group. Yeah. He gets them ready to play every single week. But Eric McCoy is the heart and soul of that front group. And he needs to be back there, and he needs to be at full health in order to give us a shot to win this game. Now, my three takeaways, though, for this game, what is going to be the difference maker? One is to what we've talked about a lot, running the football. We did this deal when I was at Oklahoma under Bob Stoops, and he would put it up every single week, especially when we played Texas, of his 19 years that he was there, and it's runs plus completions and the turnover battle. It all boils down to the turnover battle at the end of the day. If Kellen Mond can take care of the football and we can get a couple takeaways, that's going to be a huge factor. But also, runs plus completions. I know that's an interesting stat.
Versus incompletions.
No, just runs plus completions. Mm-hmm. It comes out to an actual number. It's a number. If you put that up against your opponent, based on the turnover battle, and if you have more runs plus completions, most of the time you win the ball game.
Really?
I mean, the numbers are staggering. So I think, again, stopping their run game and then being able to run the ball effectively for us is huge. I think the last one goes beyond the X's and O's. It's about not making the moment way bigger than it is. And we talked about it a little bit, that everybody goes in here and thinks it's a different species. It's not a different species. Go in there just like you have every other time that you've laced up the shoes. You're in between the lines. It's just a football field. And go play to the best of your ability. If Mike Elko gets that defense ready to go, I know Jimbo's going to have the offense ready to go. It's going to be a really fun one to watch, I think.
Couldn't agree more. I mean, it goes back. We're finishing on one of my pillars, coaching. And I think the game plan will be sound. We will have watched tape. We will know where there's chances, opportunities, and we will be opportunistic. And I just all too often see young, inexperienced coordinators. The run game and committing to it, Trevor, is not always flashy, sexy, and it's not, you know, hand it off 4 yards, hand it off 6 yards. Oftentimes, it's a 1 yard gain, a 2 yard play, and then you get into third and six or third and seven, and you got to make a big play. But you got to commit to it, because the run game is something that unravels over time. I always tell my daughter that's playing soccer, it's like chipping wood, and, you know, this is representative of a stick. Every time you run and smash into that defender, you're chipping wood off that stick. What you hope is at the end of the game, that stick is weak and it's nimble and you can snap it and break it. If you don't commit to it and you don't let me body blow you throughout the fight, then I have a stick that's too strong at the end of the game.
Wait a second. This is what you told your daughter and not your son.
This is what I'm telling my daughter and
she's
how to play soccer. Tough.
She's got to chip, run into
she's
Ella
gotta
on
chip
the soccer,
away at the opponent, which she's not quite there yet mentally, but I'm working on her.
No, let's close it out with this. We're not going to do predictions. I think are we in agreement? I think this is a close, competitive football game. I think it's going to be one of Bama's toughest games they play this season.
It's not a 26.5 margin game.
I'm not a gambler, but if it sticks at 26.5
right now,
I'm betting the house.
Oh, absolutely,
dog, all day long.
Absolutely,
we're not supposed to talk about gambling, but if that stays as is, bet the house.
Yeah, no. Give me one My player. Opinion. Before we head out, one player that you want to see, not one guy that you think is going to start. Could be, you could go Kellen, you could go wherever, but that you think is going to star in this football game. It could be a sleeper. I'm going to hit y'all with kind of a
I got
under
mine.
The radar.
I got mine. Absolutely.
Hit it. Go,
Donovan Wilson.
Oh, you
God
took
dang
mine.
It, you stole mine.
Going to have a turnover this game. I'm calling it right
okay.
now.
God, he's
all three
on.
Of us were thinking the same
because
thing.
Because, you know, and all right, so I'm going to piggyback Trevor, dadgum you, but here's – think about throughout the first three games how many times Elko's put him in a perfect situation, and he's just almost gotten it done.
Hairs.
Just
so
like,
close.
And he's got that in his head. He's an experienced guy. He's fought the dragon before. Mm-hmm. He's not scared. I think that this game for him is huge, and I don't know why. It's just that immediately
That's
popped
the
into
first
my
person
head.
That came to
first
my
person,
mind.
Big game.
All right, so if I'm going to go – we were all going to say the exact same thing. If I'm going to go a little more off the radar there, I'm going to say – I know Kendrick Rogers is coming back. He had the huge game against Clemson. I got my eye on number one, Courtney Davis.
Love it.
You know, like I
– Well played.
I love the way he bounced. I was wanting to see how do you bounce back from that fumble. He's made two huge plays in the fourth quarter against Clemson, unfortunately lost that ball, came back this week. Had a couple nice – you know, they weren't throwing it to these guys a ton, but he had four for about 50-something, 60 yards. I think Courtney Davis – we saw it. Trevor, he was running right at us. Kellen barely overthrew him. I think Courtney Davis gets over the top and splits those safeties for a big play or two on Saturday.
Like it.
I like it a lot. I like it.
Yep. All right, well, guys, we'll have a lot to talk about next week. We'll be recapping this Bama game, and A&M it will now officially be – waiting into SEC play, not to look back until mid-November. So it's here. It's upon us. The season goes so fast, but this will be a fun one. Let's enjoy it, and we'll have a lot to talk about next week, guys.
Cool.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
LucciCast, we'll be coming back at you Thursday. Billy Lucci, Trevor Knight. We're going to be joined by Greg McElroy and Reggie McNeil, two state champion quarterbacks.
Man, something I always
Texas
wanted to
high
do.
Texas high school football.
Jealous of those guys.
You made a nice run. Who knocked y'all out?
Cibolo Steele.
Oh, Malcolm Brown. Was that Malcolm Brown?
It was the year after that. Tommy Armstrong and those guys.
The Nebraska QB.
Good ball players.
All right, guys. We look forward to catching up again on Thursday. The Four Pillars.
You love it.